The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Let's go the distance by keeping our distance. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Well, before that, we are, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show former Conservative MP Edwina Curry. We wanted to speak to her about the huge controversy that has emerged since the weekend in relation to Dominic Cummins. You'll be aware that he had a press conference in the garden of Number 10 Downing Street yesterday, explaining his round trip to Durham of over 400 kilometres in relation to the very tight lockdown regulations. Edwina, thank you for joining us. What's your reaction to this saga?
Hi, it's a pleasure to be with you again. To a certain extent, my feeling is, you know, I really don't care. I don't think it's the most important thing around. I tell you what I think is happening. We're coming towards the end of lockdown. Some of the measures have been changed already. The shops are going to be opening next week and so on. And it's been a long, hard slog with many, many tens of thousands of deaths. So we all know somebody who's been ill. Many of us know somebody who's died. And that has taken its toll. People are not maybe that clued up on reading the epidemiology, looking at statistics, making a fair stab at whether they think there's going to be a virus, a vaccine or not. But they have an opinion on how we should behave during the lockdown. And that's why everybody is piling in on this man. I listened to his press conference yesterday and I thought to myself, do you know what? If we'd found ourselves in that situation where there were two of us with a small child, and one of us was seriously ill and the other was worried sick about getting ill and the family and the childcare was a long way away, I think I'd have piled into the car as well. And actually, I think a lot of people did. A lot of people did. And maybe
so just to be clear, are you saying nothing to see here?
Yes.
My God. Yes. I mean, like, the situation is this. First of all, how about the double standards, both in Scotland and with other chief medical personnel who have been faced with identical circumstances of travelling a fraction of the distance, who found their position untenable, but because of the political lean this man has over the Prime Minister, it's a different standard applies to other public officials than applies to Dominic Cummins.
Chief medical officer in Scotland did not travel somewhere to arrange childcare. She went twice to her holiday home, which she had expressly advised everybody, including not just in Scotland.
Well, you could describe this as his holiday home, his family home back in Durham, you know, so far apart. That could be a holiday home because it was a bungalow on the farm.
It could be, but it wasn't. The reason that they went was because they were worried about the child. We've got one sick parent. In fact, we ended up with both of them being sick. Both of them being
so
sick.
So it was not possible to care for the child in London. Is that what you're saying?
No. In fact, Matt
Hancock... It was not possible.
Matt, are you going to give me a chance? You are. You're a good man. You're going to give me a chance to answer. Matt Hancock is currently on TV at the moment doing the regular daily press conference. He's a Secretary of State for Health. And he was asked exactly that question. If you, Mr. Hancock, with your three children, had been faced with similar circumstances, what's the difference? And he said the difference was that he had childcare in London and this man didn't have childcare in London. Now, I can entirely understand that. And in fact, many people have made similar choices. There are newspapers are full of thoughtful articles about how nieces or nephews or daughters or granddaughters came to stay to help look after somebody who had an issue. And that's not only acceptable, it's admirable. I think that's
okay, well, put it like this. Even you must find it rather incredulous when you listen to this explanation for his trip to Barnard Castle.
On Sunday the 12th of April, 15 days after I first displayed symptoms, I decided to return to work. My wife was very worried, particularly given my eyesight had seemed to have been affected by the disease. She did not want to risk a nearly 300-mile drive with our child, given how ill I had been. We agreed that we should go for a short drive to see if I could drive safely. We drove for roughly half an hour and ended up on the outskirts of Barnard Castle town. We did not visit the castle, we did not walk around the town. We parked by a river. My wife and I discussed the situation. We agreed that I could drive safely, we should turn around and go home.
I put it to you, Edwina, it'd be much more sensible to go to Specsavers than go on a trip to Barnard Castle to test his eyesight.
Didn't, No, he didn't go to Barnard Castle to test his eyesight. It is a well-established, it's been published by the Chinese, it's been confirmed by the Royal Society of Optometrists or whatever it is in England, that some people get conjunctivitis as a result of this because you can be infected through your eyes. And if you do, especially as it's not one of the listed symptoms, if you do, then you're going to worry that your eyesight's
going to
be all
right. Well, then go to an optician. Why go on a rural drive breaking the guidelines?
Let's stop here. Let's stop here. The more you look at details and all the rest of it, the more you're wasting time. I'd like to be thinking that actually we're looking forward. We have a much bigger issue in this country, a much bigger issue, which is that we have got millions of people on furlough, millions of people claiming universal credit.
No, this is diversionary tactic by you, Adriana. We can deal with your death toll of 47,000, the highest in the world outside the US. We can deal with all the unemployment and economic issues. But the issue we're talking about is Dominic Cummins and what hold he has over Boris.
It doesn't matter. What one person does or doesn't do, which I regard, and I don't know the man, I've never met him, what I regard as absolutely reasonable in those circumstances, extremely panicky time. Most people in this country were panicking and going out and buying toilet rolls and stripping every shelf in supermarkets bare. That's what they were doing. And never mind any social distancing or any worry about infection. That's where much of the peak of the infection
came from. No, but this is a very, very senior person when there was very strict public guidance. And if you look at the figures today, even since his explanations on Sunday, a YouGov poll say more than 7 out of 10 British people thought he did break the lockdown rules up. And even Conservatives, 56% of Conservatives and Conservative MPs have said his position is untenable. And yet you're blind to it, Arena.
Calm yourself. You and I, having been elected members of our parliaments and having both been government ministers, we have both faced that kind of furore from the press, having done something that we knew to be right, having done something that under pressure we made choices about. And in my case, it was 30 odd years ago. I think yours wasn't all that, and we have seen other colleagues being pilloried by the press. It's mob rule, and we shouldn't put up with it in this country. We should be more intelligent and more thoughtful about that. And there are far, far more important issues facing this country over the next 6 months, over the next 6 weeks. You may not care about unemployment, but I bloody do.
Because there's an issue, another horrendous issue in terms of the economic consequence, doesn't take from the particular thing we're talking about right now, whether this man should be fired, whether this man should reflect. And in fact, I put it to you that if you had received the kind of support, which is unconditional, from Boris in 1988, you wouldn't have been treated so badly.
Oh, it would have been lovely. I mean, that has been a thought that's occurred to me over the weekend. And my respect for the Prime Minister, which has never been absolute, I must say, certainly rose on Sunday, that having had a long discussion with his member of staff, he then decided to back him. If that had happened in December of 1988, when I was warning the United Kingdom about the dangers of food poisoning, a really nasty food poisoning that was caused by eggs, then perhaps the whole food industry would have cleaned its act up a lot sooner. We wouldn't have had, goodness knows, we wouldn't have had foot and mouth disease. We wouldn't have had the bovine issues.
Absolutely. But you see, the point I'm trying to make is
this. Cow disease.
But the point I'm trying to make here is this, that in every country, all across the Western world, that there is huge resistance to the lockdown. It is the biggest invasion of people's civil liberties, and people don't like it, and they resent it, and they have taken sacrifices of not visiting their parents, of not doing lots of things that they would normally like to do. And therefore, the centre holding in Britain of public opinion is something for which example, unlike your egg story, which was just a matter of public health, this is actually a case of example. And a lot of Britons are actually saying that this isn't fair.
Well, you'll always find some that say that, but it's not a question of, there's an element of we don't decide the rules. The virus decides the rule. Coronavirus decides the rules. And as long as we haven't got instant treatments, which we don't have at the moment, or a vaccine, which I hope that we will have before too long, but we certainly haven't, then coronavirus is the one that decides the rules. And I hear what you say. Actually, most people in this country have understood what the problem is, what the contagion is, what its danger is, and have abided by those sensible rules, including social distancing, extremely well, extremely well. Despite the most wonderful weather over Easter and the beginning of May. And they understand that that's one of the reasons why our numbers of deaths have dropped like a stone. The numbers of people in hospital with this horrible thing have dropped like a stone. We can actually begin to open up our economy once again and get people back to work. And it's only because of their behaviour, their determination that we're going to beat this thing and beat it together, that that has actually happened. It's nothing to do with one individual. You know that. You're smart enough to figure that out.
No, sorry. I have railed against, in this country, the lockdown. I've been almost unique swimming against that tide. But I want to put a political point to you. That Boris got huge political capital and authority out of his victory in the election. I put it to you that this has weakened Boris's authority and credibility.
Well, it may well be. And it may well be that a lot of the objection, a lot of the noise is coming from people who didn't want Brexit, who see Cummings as the architect of Brexit, which to some extent he certainly was, who are still very determined that they want to fight the last election all over again. You know, a lot of this is coming from a concerted group of people who are against the political will of the British people. And that's a shame. Has it damaged the Prime Minister? Temporarily, yes. There isn't going to be a general election for 4 years. There isn't going to be local elections for another year. And we can weather that. And by the time we get to the general election, Ivan, as I think you well understand, by the time we get to the general election, what will really matter is the state of the economy and how much money's in people's pockets, whether the business has gone bust or got going again, whether they've been able to resurrect all their hopes and their being able to buy the house, being able to move, being able to do all the things that they were hoping to do before this horrible disease took place.
Let me put a listener's, we're out of time. Rosemary in Malahide says, an ordinary person who breaks the rules gets a fine. Dominic gets a press conference. That's what people are annoyed about.
Well, actually, that's not true in most places. It hasn't been true in Derbyshire, where I live. What the police have done is speak to people, and that's also been true in Durham, that they've taken the view that they want to explain to people why you shouldn't be congregating in groups of 25 or more and setting a barbecue alight on the moors, why you are actually running the risk of catching this horrible disease, or if not necessarily catching, passing it on to your granny who's going to die of it.
Okay, Edwina, well, Martin says, stop harassing Edwina. You just like arguing. She's right, says Martin. My thanks to Edwina Curry.
The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Together, let's play our part by staying apart. Nissan, innovation that excites.